In Matthew 26, 57 through 68, kind of a 10 verses long, we have a record. God has given us a record of Jesus' trial before the crucifixion. And there were some things in that trial I saw that were very penetrating. The questions they asked him and how he answered them. And I'd like to share this with you. So the first thing you see in verse 58 of Jesus' trial, that Peter followed at a distance. Because that's so important by itself. The very next vignette in the series following this one, we will look at what it means to follow Jesus at a distance. But right now, we want to focus on the penetrating question that was asked Jesus at the trial. So the chief priest said to Jesus, "We want you to swear an oath in front of the living God." Some versions say, "I adjure you," but adjure you, A-D-J-U-R-E, in the Greek means to give an oath. Now, what is an oath? An oath is a sacred promise. It is the strongest statement that I could give. What I'm saying is what I am telling you is true. God knows the truth of what I'm saying. Very strong. And I usually don't get this detailed, but I think it's important right here. And that is the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. I explained that back in some of the past vignettes we've done. And that is oaths. What really is an oath in the Greek when I give an oath? They are primarily self-cursing. Should I not only be speaking the truth? It's very strong. If I'm not telling you the truth, then I am cursing myself. And Mark 6:26 brings out the serious consequences of giving an oath, and that oaths are not to be taken lightly. But we've got to see the importance of making a promise. It is interesting, the Word of God says, let our promises be few. And I went through the Bible years ago and marked down every unconditional promise. One of the beautiful ones is in Philippians chapter 1, where he says, God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not based that I respond to that. A lot of the promises in the Bible are conditional. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. But there are promises that are not conditional, but there are not a lot of them in Scripture. I was amazed that God doesn't make a lot of promises without any conditions connected to them. Now, so today, if you give your word, what does that mean? You know, what does it mean if you're saying, I promise you, or I give you this oath, I didn't do it, or whatever. I did do it, but what have you? See, there's an old saying, and it's really good, that a man is only as good as his promises. And there are people that you just take anything that they say lightly because they'll promise anything to get the results that they want. When I went to Biola College in California to train for the ministry, while I was at the school, they had their, I believe it was the 50th year anniversary. And so they went back in the old records about, well, how did the school start and how did they get the money to build the school? And the school was built on prime property in downtown Los Angeles. There were a group of men that were praying that there ought to be like a Moody Bible Institute in Los Angeles, a Bible college that was non-denominational, but that would be solely centered on the Word of God. And the building they built, because it's the one where I started, there's a church in the middle of it that seats 4,000 people. And then there's a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm, and they were separated. They were, I don't know, 12 stories high. There was, you know, they had classrooms, wonderful large dining area. Just everything was in this school that took almost a whole block in downtown Los Angeles. And as they looked, they found out three men were behind the starting of that Bible school. And they got a builder, and they told him what they wanted, and they had an architect design the buildings to fit, so they would fit with downtown architecture. And they started building the building on a handshake. These men said, "You start building and we'll pay." And that's when a man's word meant something. Today, people will sign papers, all kinds of things, and then hire a lawyer to get them out of what they promised. So, you know, the question or the oath that they wanted Jesus to make, these men that were putting him on trial for his life, they said, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus answered, "Yes, I am." Also, Jesus said, "I can guarantee that one day I will sit at God's right hand and I will come again." What's your verdict about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the Son of God? Is he the one that God had promised? If you don't know Jesus that way, Jesus gave an answer in John 14:6, and they were asking questions there. And Jesus answered the questioner with this: "I am the way to God. I am the truth, or God's of God, or I reveal God." And then he said, "I am the life that God offers." Do you want eternal life? Well, how do I get that? How do I enter God's family? You need to come to God in prayer. And you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how much money you've given and all of that. That's not important. It's wonderful that you maybe have supported Christian ministries and all of that kind of thing. But have you come to God, acknowledged that you're a sinner and that you need him, and asked the Lord to forgive you and say, "Lord, I want to receive you into my life and I want to be part of your family. And I want to be part of that kingdom"? I trust you've done that. And if you haven't, think about it. We're praying that we try to put the gospel on our website in different issues. On one that we did that's not a part of the series that you're now watching was my journey to God. How I grew up in a basically non-Christian home. Was never in church. And it was how God used my past failures to bring me into his kingdom and to bring me a place where I realized that without God, I was a mess. And I needed the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And it's explained in detail on that video. So that video that we have on is my journey towards God. It helps you understand my background, how I grew up, where I grew up, and how my life was headed for disaster, how I tried to commit suicide as a teenager because of my great unhappiness and so on. So I encourage you right now to examine your own heart. Have I really come to the Lord and repented of my past and asked Him to be my personal Savior? If you do that as a result of this video, we would love for you to tweet us or whatever they do. I'm not very computer smart. My associate is, and he set all this up. But we'd love to hear from you because we want to not only encourage believers in their walk with God, but we want people that don't know the Lord to find Him as their own personal Savior. These videos are being watched now in 146 countries of the world. And every week, last week alone, 2,100 people from 60 countries watched the video. And if you're watching, I trust you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and show you your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless you and thank you for watching.